we recently had talks on the signs of the times in the earth, which make us know that it is evident that we should look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Such signs are given to us to encourage us and to remind us to be circumspect and to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith, in order that we might be successful in running our race. With this in mind, I'd like to revisit a subject regarding what constitutes success for a believer, at least from the divine perspective. These notes originated first time around from a Proverbs class we had many years ago. Seems like a long, lifetime ago at this point, where we found that this specific subject, that is the success, is an overarching subject, in the book of Proverbs. And we'll read those verses towards the end of the talk. Way back when we did that, we literally just went, verses by verse on the subject of whatever subject we were on, in this case, success. The reason it came to my mind recently, and I know I've told some of you all here and locally, there was a person that I worked with that was very successful, you might say, from the worldly perspective, from career, however you want to put that. And he was one of those individuals that you may have had people in your life as well, that you talk to them, about the truth or about God and so forth, and can't really get through to them per se. You didn't make any headway per se, but you kind of think in the back of your mind, well, perhaps if Christ returned and the Mid-Heaven Gospel Proclamation came out, this would be a person who might actually answer that. But unfortunately, he died before that happened. And so it was just on my mind recently because of that. So unfortunately, that's it for that individual. But I had a thought on, there's a thought process rather on, what is success? He was still considered a very successful person by world standards. What does success mean for us? So we'll start with that question. What is success? What does success mean? Most definitions, if you look it up in our dictionary, in a general sense, include achieving a goal, receiving an honor or a reward, usually from winning a race or what have you, and being held in favor or approval. So have achieving a goal, receiving an honor or reward, or being held in favor or approval. For instance, the success of a person may be measured on the completion of a race, just as we hope to win the race that is set before us. Paul describes this in Hebrews in chapter 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and of course it's referring to the previous chapter, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the stake, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So here again, verse 1. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Success may also be measured by the completion of a task, such as building a house, and may be based on the quality of the work therein. So 1 Corinthians 3, beginning at verse 10. Let's see, we're going to read 10 through 13. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, this is Paul, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And so just to pause there for a minute, success, of course, can be measured also on whether or not receives a reward for their labors. So here, of course, Paul had many labors, and he certainly set this foundation for many in Ecclesia. We've been studying that in our Sunday school class, but it continues here in verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, the wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, etc., he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, verse 15, he shall suffer loss. His work, part of his work, unfortunately, will not make it, but he himself shall be saved, so as yet by fire. But certainly that is a reward in itself, bringing someone to the truth. Let's also look at James 1:12 regarding what that reward is. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So that crown of life, or the Stephanos of life, that will be given to those who overcome. In contrast, this world tends to measure success in terms of wealth or power or influence. Thus, the more money that one has, or the more things that you accumulate, or the more people that you have subordinate to you, the more successful you are in the sight of man. What does Yahweh think of this? Psalm 49, 6 to 13. Psalm 49, 6 through 13. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their life is precious, and it ceaseth forever. But he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, being in honor, abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. I have one more. Okay. This their way is folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings. Selah. Of course, you can see that throughout history as well. So what is, again, success to us? We already read some verses on it. What is success to a believer? What is the end goal? As has already been mentioned, we seek a city which hath foundations whose builder and maker is God. We seek to enter into the kingdom age, the day of rest. We also seek glory and honor, but not our own. Rather, we seek to manifest our Heavenly Father to the best of our ability in this life, that we might be able to more perfectly manifest his glory throughout the whole earth and his kingdom. So how is this done? How do you run the race? How do you build upon the foundation that has been laid? The answer is a very simple one, but it can obviously be very difficult to put into practice. First, Ecclesiastes 12:13. It's about as straightforward of an answer you can get. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. And, you know, it seems very simple, but from a worldly perspective, especially for someone who's not grown up in the truth or may not have any but if you didn't grow up in the truth and you didn't grow up in a religious household at all, it's hard for them to fear God and keep his commandments when they haven't even had the word in their mind. Matthew 6:33, another one that's a memory verse we might turn to if someone asked us that question. How are we to be successful, or how are we to run the race? Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We are to seek Yahweh's righteousness. And all these things, which were written of earlier in the chapter, shall be added unto you. Also Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as much in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So it takes work. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The first step then is to find out what God's commandments are by reading the word, and doing so on a continuing basis, washing in the water of the word. There is a constant battle within us against the sin of the flesh, and it takes a great deal of time, effort, and study in order to be successful in that battle on an ongoing basis. You might be successful for a time, but if you put away that sword of the Spirit and don't wash yourself in it, you will find that you are no longer being successful in that battle. If you are idle and do not fill your mind with the word of truth on a regular basis, if you're not bridled by the word, if your tongue is not bridled by the word, your mind will instead relapse back towards the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And what are those strongholds? Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And if this is not done, what occurs? James chapter 1, 18. James chapter 1, 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And you know, another way or another phraseology of saying the wages of sin is death. This is the way it has been since the beginning. Now, it is interesting that the only time that the English word for success is used in the Bible, the English word, rather, success, is used in the Bible is, drives home the same message. The Hebrew word associated with it is actually used quite a few times throughout the scripture, but it is only translated as the English word success in one instance. So let's go look at that. It's Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Joshua 1, 5 through 9. And this is Yahweh speaking to Joshua. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and be very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it, that is the law, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for Yahweh thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So Joshua is told here that he will have good success if he does what? Verse 7 says, only be thou strong and very courageous, thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from the law to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper. Verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The record, of course, shows that Joshua did succeed in leading the children of Israel into the promised land, subduing it, and dividing it into the various tribal allotments. And it was due to him observing the law and walking circumspectly. This brings us to the definition of the Hebrew word here translated success. The word success is the Hebrew word sakal, S-A-W-K-A-L, sakal. It means to be circumspect, causatively make or act circumspect, and hence intelligent. And these are some very interesting definitions. It's got quite a long list. Consider, expert, instruct, prosper, deal prudently, have good success, teach, have understanding, wisdom, to behave wisely, and to guide wittingly. So to combine those various definitions together, and by continually refreshing ourselves in his word, we will gain more understanding. We will have more wisdom in the things of God. We will be able to act and behave wisely and deal prudently with others, having good success in teaching and guiding wittingly. If we continue in these things and are successful in walking circumspect ourselves, Yahweh willing, we will be given a place in God's kingdom. Let's look at Psalm 119, beginning at verse 97. I seem to always find a way to fit this into a talk at some point. It's just a very good set of verses. But anyhow, beginning at verse 97, and we'll read through verse 105. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Verse 105, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Just as an aside, the word understanding there in verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, is the same word translated as success back in Joshua 1 verse 8. Additionally, there are also temporal blessings. We've been kind of looking towards the end picture, but there are temporal blessings, and the children of Israel had them as well. The children of Israel were promised long life in the land if they continued in the correct way. So we have Deuteronomy 32, 45 to 47. Deuteronomy 32, beginning verse 45. Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said to them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe and do all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land, whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. There's a couple ways you could look at that, or could take that phraseology there that in 47, for it is not a vain thing for you because it is your life. Well, that was true in a couple ways. It is their life in the long-term sense. It is their hope of eternal life. But also it was to be part of their daily life, in reading it when they woke up and when they walked in the way and so forth. And of course, we'll see that in the Kingdom Age as well, a return to that sort of lifestyle, which is very foreign to what we see around us in the world today. Let me catch up my notes here. We too are also blessed in this life to varying extents. Regardless of our circumstances in this life, whether rich or poor or what have you, we are assured of a few things. So that Psalm 37, beginning at verse 23. Psalm 37, beginning at verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by Yahweh, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for Yahweh upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and am now old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For Yahweh loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, None of his steps shall slide. That word slide there is the Hebrew ma'ad, which means waver. So none of his steps shall waver. Why? Because the law of his God is in his heart. Also back in Psalm 34, verse 7, another one we tend to have as a memory verse. The angel of Yahweh encampeth round about them that fear him, that respect and fear Yahweh, and delivereth them. And then along the same lines, let's go over to Luke 12, 24 to 28. Luke 12, 24 to 28. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If then ye be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not and spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Of course, it continues down. There's another account of the same thing we read earlier in Matthew regarding seeking the kingdom of God first. Also, Romans 8, 28. Romans 8, 28. And let's read 27 and 28. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. With all these being said, we would like now to look at these Proverbs to see what they have to say about a successful man. So we're just going to run through a series of verses on this. As we go through this, think about how Joshua's life fit in with these. We kind of made a general glossing over of what he did and his success, both temporally and, of course, we think to what he'll be capable of in the future at the return of our Lord. But think about Joshua's life and how these verses we're going to read fit into it. And then afterwards, look at a couple other individuals in Scripture who are successful. Let's look at first Proverbs 13, 13. So I'll read a heading with each of these. So first, a man is successful when he obeys God's word. Proverbs 13, 13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Next, we have a man is successful when he works hard. Chapter 12, verse 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Next, we have a man is successful when he commits his work to Yahweh. Chapter 16, verse 3. Commit thy works unto Yahweh, and thy thoughts shall be established. It will not waver. We read that verse earlier talking about the feet will not waver. A man is successful when he puts God first in everything. Chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in Yahweh with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. A man is successful when he consults others when making plans. Chapter 15, 22. Chapter 15, 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So you might include in there, lean not unto thine own understanding. A man is successful when he loves wisdom, obviously wisdom that is from above. Chapter 19, verse 8. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own life. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. A man is successful when he works carefully and steadily. Chapter 21, verse 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of every one that is hasty, only to want. I think of, you know, feet that run swiftly to mischief and haste. A man is successful when he admits that he makes mistakes and does not repeat them. Chapter 28, verse 13. Read this one this morning. 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. The idea of covering there being a hiding away. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. A man is successful when he trusts in Yahweh. Chapter 28, verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in Yahweh shall be made fat. A man is successful when he has humility. Chapter 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of Yahweh are riches and honor and life. Obviously, that is honor of Yahweh, as we spoke of earlier. And the final one here is, a man is successful when he accepts chastening, which is probably one of the hardest ones for us to bear, when he accepts chastening. Chapter 13, verse 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. With those in mind, we would like to look at a few examples briefly of those in Scripture who have been deemed successful. We picked these because it sort of spanned the length of the Scriptures. So first is Moses in Hebrews 11, 24 to 26. Obviously, there are probably innumerable examples we could look at for individuals, but we picked out three. Moses, Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Certainly, he would have been a very successful prince of Egypt if he had done so. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So he was looking again, as it says earlier in that chapter, to a different city that has foundations whose builder and maker is God. The second person we'll consider is Daniel. We could look at a lot of verses for this, but we're going to look at chapter 12 of Daniel, verses 8 to 13, where he is assured of being able to stand in his lot at the end of his days. Chapter 12, 8 through 13. And I, Daniel, heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel. The words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way, Daniel, till the end be, for thou shalt rest, and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. So he knows that he will stand in his lot. And of course, we could have looked at verses throughout Daniel where he goes through various symbolic death and resurrections regarding the various prophecies in there. So he already knew that many of these things were beyond his lifetime at that point. And lastly, this is usually the one we think of first, we'll look at Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Second Timothy 4, 7 and 8. I, Paul, have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his, all them also that love his appearing. These individuals' hope is the same as our hope. And we all intend, or we all hope to hear, the words spoken by Jesus in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, which is, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. You might insert there successful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Later in that same chapter, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Moving on now to the connected memorial remarks.